it's been a while, so I'm gonna go over a little bit of recap. Hopefully I have plenty of time to do this. I'd like to get it all done today if possible. The Battle for Your Mind, Part 2. I also want to put like a subchapter, whatever you want to do, The Power of Your Mind. We're going to get into that later on. Like, as I said before, the thing I want you to remember the most in your mind, if you look at Proverbs chapter 23, I believe it's verse 7, the first part of that verse says, "As a man thinketh, so is he." What I want us to remember, as we think of ourselves, so are we. As a man, as he or she thinketh, so is he or she. And I talked about last month, the greatest battle we'll ever have to face is nowhere in the world that we'll ever have to go. It's going to be right with us. It's going to be in our mind, especially a born-again Christian. Lost folks have a battle to fight too. They have the battle to fight to believe. Once you're born again, you have the battle to fight to be renewed because you've already believed. And to start walking your path in life, as Brother Scotty says, and he's heard before, to find the will of God for your life. Immediately whenever you get born again, Satan starts a battle with you. And he doesn't end it. And he's not going to end it until he's put down in the last days and defeated once and for all against fighting against us with his deception. Now he's been defeated at the cross with Jesus. He has no power against us except one thing: to convince our mind that we have no power. And sometimes that sounds like it's a big thing, but it's not. It's a little thing. But what the problem is we don't, as born-again Christians, rely on the things and the bullets, as Brother Scott has preached about, that God gives us, because Satan ain't got no bullets for his gun. All he's got is one lie. That's it, one lie. And when he uses that against us, he makes it so strong that it feels like the truth, and it's not the truth. God's word is the only truth that we have. The power of a sound mind comes with truth. God's word is truth. He tells that in John 17. He says, "Sanctify them in thy word. Thy word is truth." And that's where we win the victory, is through the truth. The more we stay in the truth, the more victory we will have. We already have the victory. We just don't. The devil lies to us, says, "You ain't got it. You ain't got it." We got it. But I'm telling you, I'm living proof. The devil fought me for a long time on certain things. I never had no trouble with some of them. I put them down, and said, "No, I know better. God delivered me. Then I'd have a little trouble about certain things, and I'd have to fight a little harder. God's word says I'm delivered, and I am. I had to make myself believe in my mind. What's that called? It's called renewal. And once I get that renewal and get it settled in my mind, Satan comes at me again and again and again. But once you get that renewal made and your mind's made up, it goes in, your brain believes it, he's convinced, your brain's convinced, and it goes down into your heart, your spirit. Now you have something to fight with. A lot of born-again Christians don't realize what they have to fight with. It's your mind. God has given us a path back to him through Jesus Christ, through redemption, but he has given us something so mighty to fight with. A lot of Christians don't realize they even have it. Jesus tells us, Beth, if you put Matthew 22, 37, and 38 up there, please. Jesus tells us in these verses, this is the first and great commandment and the top priority of God that puts us into the mind of God. In other words, puts us to thinking like God wants us to think. And Jesus said to them, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." Do you ever think why Jesus told the people that? Once you get that settled in your heart, then you start to take the next step. You can't get it settled until you start doing what? Thinking about it. Believing it. When you believe something, you got to think about it. And when you do it the right way, then it becomes God's word becomes revelation to you and it stays. The only way you'll ever get rid of it is just to let go of it. Because once God gives you something, he don't take it back. Not in his word. His word stands forever. Your mind is where you and me will determine our destiny. What's our destiny? It's our future. Where we're going, what we're going to do, how we're going to get there, what we're going to do to get there. And for a born-again Christian, the best thing to use is the roadmap that God give us is his word. When we're born again, God set us out on a journey. And he give us a map and he says, these things are going to happen. And these things are going to happen. And these things are going to happen. But be cheerful and don't be afraid and don't be in fear. Because I am with you always. Once you're born again and take Jesus into your heart and you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, you're never, ever, ever, ever alone. A born-again Christian is never alone. I know it feels like it. I have a lot of people live in our house. Did have four kids. Now I got three. And me and April. Sometimes I would feel like I was alone. It wasn't their fault. It's Satan lying to me. Beth, would you put up Ephesians 6:4, please? Now, speaking of in our homes, I can't get on this too much because I'll stay on this. Ephesians 6:4 puts the responsibility of the father to teach the children about God, about Jesus, about his word. It's all through the Bible. Paul tells us this and that. We don't have to go there and read it, but it says, fathers teach your children. Now, it doesn't say the mothers are, thrown to the side or they're not involved. But dads, men, God's going to hold you responsible. Did you teach your child about him? And I'm not talking about just taking him to church three or four times a week. Did you live your life and teach him? Did you tell him these things is what you need to do according to God's word? Because what you're doing is you're planting a seed in his mind, in that child's mind, that fulfills the scriptures to train up a child when he is young, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. We train that child up in God's ways, how to use their mind to fight the things that's going to be coming at them in their lives. I can stand up here and tell you at times in my life I've had the weakest mind control of anybody I've ever known. I think last month the example of trying to get over when God convicted me of smoking cigarettes. And like I said, I'm not passing judgment on anybody that smokes, but God told me to stop. And I said, okay, Lord, I need help. So he gave me help. And I quit for about a year. And I told you the story, me and April both quit. next thing you know, we found a pack of cigarettes. You know what happened right there? We failed to use our mind to keep our destiny at that time for a short period. We started smoking again. Now, I don't know about her, but I called on the Lord because, my fleshly body wanted to do that and it was hooked again. But my spirit body didn't want to do it no more because I was grieved. I wanted to serve God. And God had told me don't do this. So I'm in total disobedience. So you can imagine how I feel in my spirit. Anyway, when you don't use the power of your mind to fight the things that Satan throws at us, you're going to be fighting like with your arm tied behind you. That's the way I know how to, maybe both of them in your mind. Because that's the one thing God gives us is Satan. We can defeat him with it easy. A born-again Christian can defeat Satan easy with what he throws at him because he's already defeated to start with, so you're starting from a position of victory. It's not like you're standing toe-to-toe with him. You're on a higher level. We are on a higher level. The thing he does is convinces a born-again Christian in their mind that they are not. He's pointing that empty gun at you that you've not got any bullets for. And trust me, I've been as guilty as, if you want to call it guilty, or as bad as anybody about doing it. As I said earlier, as a man or woman thinketh in his heart, so is he or she. Think about yourself. I said it last month. How do you want to be? Do you want to be worried all the time, full of fear and anger, bitterness, and in a turmoil all the time? I've been there. I don't like it. I have been there to the point to where I thought that I liked it. My flesh liked it. But when it's all said and done, I didn't like it because that's all I had. And it was nothing. Or do you want to be a person that's full of love and joy and peace and hope and comfortable? And what I mean by comfortable is be, you know, easy to be around. I like being around people that's like that. It's a joy. It's fun. And I told y'all the story where I was not like that. People didn't like being around me. And finally somebody told me. And I wasn't even born again then, and I was set about to change the way I acted. And what was I doing? I was changing my attitude. What is my attitude? My attitude is an inward feeling and expressed by my outward behavior. No matter what, how long you try to hide it, sooner or later, your attitude is going to come out. Now, a lot of times people will call the word attitude, meaning somebody's got a bad attitude. I'm not necessarily like that. I always like, you know, you either got a good attitude or a bad attitude. But it's a slang nowadays, like to say you got an attitude, meaning that you've got something bad going on. Which, either way, you need to change it. But it's your inward feeling expressed by your outward behavior. Sooner or later, it's going to come out. There's one thing about an attitude. It is not happy until it's expressed, good or bad. None of us want to be around anybody that's got a bad attitude. I know we don't. I don't want to be around anybody that's got a bad attitude. Especially if I'm, you know, in a good mood. And I feel like I've got a good attitude. And I can imagine how other people feeling around me and I got a bad attitude. Now, a born-again Christian believer that has the mind of Christ has a solid, rock, cannot fail, victorious attitude and foundation and total confidence. And if you got that, there ain't nothing in the world can do anything with you. No spirit, no bad spirit, no demon in hell, no Satan, no nobody. When you know who you are, where you're coming from, what you got, where you're going, and how you're going to do it, and you're backed up by God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit that created earth and everything in it and heaven and give us the mind of Christ. Now, I'm not talking about give us, you know, like we are gods. No, but he give us something for us that's better than that. Jesus came and paid for it with his blood, and he was born, resurrected out of the tomb, and he's got a mind where he has... He's in the position I talked about earlier of authority. He is victorious. Beth, would you put up the Colossians? I think it's chapter 2. Yeah, 13 through 15. It says here, when you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, worldly in this manner of life, God made you alive together with Christ, having freely forgiven us all our sins, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of legal demands which were in force against us, which were hostile to us, and this certificate he has set aside and completely removed by nailing it to the cross. That's where it stopped. Right there. And we had disarmed the rulers and authorities, those supernatural forces of evil operating against us. He made a public example of them, exhibiting them as captives in his triumphal procession, having triumphed over them through the cross. I don't see where I need to really elaborate on interpreting that any further. But I will say this. A born-again Christian that does not operate from a standpoint of victory has laid aside this promise, this thing that Jesus has paid for with his blood. A lot of, I'm sorry to say, and like I said, I've been guilty in the past. A lot of born-again Christians don't think about that. From this point on, when you're born again, you have to change your thinking. To change your thinking, you have to use your mind. Our mind is a wonderful, supernatural, awesome thing that God has given us. Think of the things in worldly terms that man has done. All given by God now. All come from God. But things that God has, a man has done in this world, from ages past to age present, with technology. Well, I'm not saying all of it's the best for us, but in looking at it, it's awesome to see what man has done, for what God has given and man has done with it, as far as just looking at it. Now, on a spiritual level, knowing that God is a spirit and wants to be worshipped in truth and spirit, think about how much more he's given the born-again Christian in their mind to operate in the spiritual world. If man can operate as well as it is in the natural world and do all of these wondrous things, imagine how much a born-again Christian can do in a spiritual world with the wondrous thing that God has given them in the power of your mind. We have the authority. Once the Holy Spirit is indwelled in us, we are the kingdom of God, each and every one of us. Not one single person, but knit together. And God has given us the power through our mind to operate in his kingdom and operate a kingdom like this earth has never seen before. Operate it in love and in joy and in peace. From the prospect of not being in that place, if we ever have a problem that we need to go forward, we have to remember, if you want to change your life, you're not going to change anything if you don't confront it. And what I mean by that, if you don't at least accept the fact that you got a problem and you want to change it. In your mind, you can do that. God give us the awesome power through his word and being born again to do that very easily. Now, is it easy to do? From our standpoint, we think no. From God's standpoint, being in the mind of Christ, it's simple. Paul said so. I'll get to that in a minute. If we want something, like I said before, as a man and woman thinketh, so is he or she. We need to think like we want to be. And what I mean by think, you have to choose the thought. You're going to have a lot of thoughts come through your brain. Some of them's yours, some of them ain't. Pick the one that you want. Now, I don't know anybody, I'm going to say in their right mind, that does not want to be successful and at least happy. What I mean by successful, most people in this world would count that as good finances, lots of toys or whatever. A born-again Christian should think of it as being in the will of God, serving God under anointing and the purpose that he's given us. If you think about it and you're not there and you want to change it, start thinking, I want to do the will of God. Ask God. And I'm living proof. All you have to do is ask God. Because I stumbled around for a couple of years thinking, you know, something don't feel right. I don't know. I know what it is now. I wasn't living what God wanted me to be exactly. I needed to seek him and his word in prayer and studying. And once I started taking those steps, the first thing I had to do was do what? Change my mind. To change my thinking, change my mind. I stopped thinking like it. And whenever I stopped thinking like it, I started living like I wanted to live. And then I realized that all the things I'd been taught, I wasn't doing one thing, I wasn't talking like it. So now I had to stop. When you think it, speak it. Because the next formidable power that you have is your words. Very, very, very powerful. Your mind is powerful. Your words are powerful too, our words. And then you stop saying, I can't, as Brother Scotty says. Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Stop saying if, but start saying I will by the grace of God. Stop saying something's impossible, but say all things are possible to those that believe and are called according to his purpose. And I'm not telling you things that I've only been taught. I'm telling you things I've had to live through my life, and they will work. Because yet again, I got to a point for the last probably at least year and a half, I've not had a lot of trials, a lot of big major problems going on with me. I've kind of had this flat place. It's, you know, I've got up here and I'm sailing along, everything feels real good, and the next thing you know, the devil starts throwing another battle at me. I'm having to deal with a battle. And it's getting to the point where it's not only a spiritual battle, it's starting to cause me physical problems. I've never experienced quite that level. Now I know what Brother Scott and Sister Teresa are talking about, Brother Brad, and they say, you know, higher level, bigger devils. But now I feel like I'm not only being, he's fighting against me on the inside, you know, I'm fighting so hard, it seems like to me that it's having adverse effects on my body. That's a physical thing. But he can't hurt me. I know that. He's not causing the pain. I'm causing it myself. As I said earlier, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit created heaven and earth and everything in it. God told Jesus, after Jesus was resurrected, Jesus told the disciples, "The Father has given me power over heaven and earth and all things." And we are to, and Jesus delegated that same power to us through our mind to use. Why are we to do that? To glorify God. It's plain and simple. We are in a different place when you're born again than you were before you were born again. You're not only a new creature, you're in a different place. You have been relocated. You are in the family of the Most High. You are a child of the Most High. You're a king and priest of the Most High. You're an ambassador to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that word ambassador means? I mean, I figure everybody does. It means you are his representative while he cannot be here. We are his representative. I mean, think about that, because I had to think about it a long time for one time. Well, if I'm an ambassador for Jesus, you know, some of my behavior is not necessarily acting like what Jesus told me to do. Beth, would you put up Romans 12:2, please? These are some of the promises and the ways. We've heard this, I know, over and over again, but I had to hear it a lot before it sank in. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I want you to concentrate this morning on the last part of that verse. "That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That scripture is for each and every born-again Christian, here and wherever, across the world. That's why God wants you to renew your mind. If you spend half your life, let's say you live 80 years, and you spend half your life lost and half your life living for the Lord, you know when you're lost, you're pretty much doing, you know, I ain't going to call it perfect, but all the misuse of your mind that Satan could have you to do, or have any of us to do. When you get born again, are you using your mind and renewing your mind, are we all, so that we can prove what is that good and acceptable will of God that, and our purpose that he has set out before us? Are we given 100%? Sometimes we are, sometimes we're not. Well, God gives us a path. He gives us a way. That path is his word. The way is through our mind. And then, like I said, it's amplified even more supernaturally because Jesus is the firstborn of many brethren. We are the many brethren. He give us. Now, Beth, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. "To let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Let's use our thoughts right there. The mighty thing that God gave us, our imagination. Can you imagine what the mind of Jesus was? He tells us when he spoke and he said, "I come not to do my own will, but the will of the Father." That is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ. And now 2 Timothy 1 and 7, please. It says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. The last part of that verse again. The power of love and a sound mind. If you dedicate yourself being born again to God and the will, God's will for your life through the things that He says to do and He wants for you for your life, you will have this power of love and a sound mind. You also actually have it. But if you strive for it, you ask for it, and you seek it, you'll break through the access to it. And now 2 Corinthians 11:3, please. A lot of people say it's hard to live for Jesus. That's kind of a double-edged axe, so to speak. I would have said one time in my life that's true. I won't say that now. What's hard about it is seeing the battles that's coming at me and learning where I need to be to fight that battle. That's the hard part. The hard part is not serving Jesus, because when I'm serving Jesus in here, it's awesome. I've got something I've never had before in my life, and I've had it since 2014. And I know I want to keep it. The hard part is getting up off of my so-called seat of my mind and getting up and fighting. That's the hard part. And it says, but I fear, and Paul's talking to born-again Christians here. He says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be complete. I'm sorry. I can't see that. What? Corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity that is in Christ. That means it's not hard. It's all right here in black and white. The problem is we don't always get it from here to here. In Psalms 119, David said, I have hidden your word in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. What does that word hidden mean? It means he memorized it. He meditated it. In other words, it's in here. Nobody can take it away from him. And it's in here, and he knows when it's in here, he's not going to sin against God. That's a good place to be. Now, I've been talking about our mind. The human mind in its natural world here is, it's a remarkable thing anyway. Did you know that they are people, more than one, more than two, more than ten probably? There's documented cases of people that can read 24 to 30 books and keep all of that information, all of it, that's in those books. The human mind has a capacity to learn at least six languages and be fluent in them. Now, granted, I'm not one of them people. Don't either account. I can read some things and I might remember it 20 years from now, but 2 days I might not. But the mind is a wonderful thing. It's a mighty, awesome, powerful thing. God gave it to us in the beginning to use to glorify Him, and we all know we give Satan the power to thwart all of that. God means for us to use our mind for His glory. And when we do the blessings for it, He blesses us. When we do that, He blesses us for doing it. Isaiah 26:3, please, Beth. Isaiah 26:3. Now, we already read in Romans 12:2 that we should be not like the world, but be like born-again Christians and renew our minds. And this says, you will keep in perfect peace and constant peace the one whose mind is steadfast, that is committed and focused on you in both inclination and character, because he trusts and takes refuge in you with hope and confident expectation. Now that's the Amplified. The King James says, you will keep in perfect peace the one that stayed in your word and his mind's focused on the Lord. That's some big words, perfect peace. That's where I was until not too awful long ago, but I will be back there again. I am victorious. I'm just fighting to get there. But I know God will not leave me. God will not forsake me. I'm doing what he said to do. I'm being obedient as much as I know how. I'm being submissive to him and his word. Ephesians 4, 23 and 24, please. And yet again, he's telling us, and be continually, which we need to consider that word, continually renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now here it says in the spirit of your mind. We are a new creature. And when we say that, we're not just talking about we're supposed to act different and look different. We are different. If you're born again, you're a different person than the person you were before you became born again. First things, your actions show different. That's the reason people say, what's you know, something different about you? Or you're different than everybody else. Maybe they don't see it immediately. They say, well, you don't do this, you don't do that like everybody else does. You know, you don't speak the same. You don't think the same. You don't see things the same. You have other priorities in life because you have something that the world does not have. The truth, God's word. And it shows up, whenever it shows up inside a person's born-again Christian's life, it shows out on the outside. Remember what I said? Your attitude changes. The attitude is an inward feeling about your outward behavior. It says, be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude. And put on the new self, the regenerated and renewed nature created in God's image. That's powerful right there. This new person we are now created even more in the image of God than we were when we were created in the beginning and born into this world. We're in a better standpoint than we were in the beginning. Created in God's image, God-like in the righteousness and holiness of the truth, living in a way that expresses God, your gratitude for your salvation. Okay, let me add just a little bit to that. A little interpretation. And expresses to God your gratitude for your healing. And expresses to God your gratitude for your success. And expresses to God your gratitude for your hope. And expresses to God your gratitude for your finances. And you can go on and on. So now we see, when you renew your mind, you're doing something that expresses gratitude to God. God sees where your heart is. Now God knows your heart already. That's the reason that's how he makes his decisions. He sees man's heart. He said in Genesis that it grieved him that he had created man. That's a strong, powerful statement. Because mankind, it says it in the last part of the verse, because mankind continually chose to do continually evil in his heart. We're regenerated. We're a new person. We should be renewing our minds so that we continually show God our gratitude by serving him and doing his purpose and will for our life. And he gives us the way to do it through the power of our mind. The message throughout God's word is pretty clear. If you want to change your life, change your thinking. First thing is you believe Jesus was the Son of God and come to earth, lived as a man, knows what you're going through, died and paid the blood price for your sins so you didn't have to. That's where you can have a relationship with God the Father again. That's the first change. And after that, just the scripture we've been reading, renewing your mind daily through his word. So now we see that whenever we do this, we're not only doing it to help ourselves, we're blessing God. Can you imagine? Maybe everybody in here don't have children. Everybody in here that has children, how do you feel whenever Brother Johnny and Sister Samantha, Ty and Chloe did something for them last week? How'd that make you feel? Could you imagine how the Father feels whenever we do something that's obedient to Him and His Word? His ways are much more higher and powerful than our ways. But whenever we see it and we get it, He's so pleased with us that He blesses us. I'm going to talk some more about that in a little while. But it's clear throughout God's Word, if you want to change your life, change your thinking, change your thoughts. As I said before, as a man and woman thinketh, so is he. The reason I keep saying that is because it was key to me. I'm a hard-headed person. I don't mean to be. My natural flesh, if I rely on it, is like that. So I have to learn to change my thinking to rely on how God wants me to think and use His Word. That takes away that hard-headedness and stubbornness. And sometimes I don't feel like it's easy. I'm just going to be honest. But if I rely on God and do like David said, "Thy word I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee," God will make it. And if I don't think it's easy, it's going to come out good. Mark 9:23, please. Now, so far I've talked about the battlefield of your mind, the power of your mind. There's some things that Jesus says all through the New Testament and the miracles that He performed. And He says this, Jesus said unto them, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible him that believeth." That's a big statement. But it's the truth. To believe means that you have to move from one spot to another spot. It means you have to change how you see this and into this. Change your thinking. Once again, we have the power of our mind in operation. God was trying and is still trying to tell those that want to, for lack of a better word, either, I don't really know why, but for whatever reason, don't want to see the awesomeness that He has set before us. Renew your mind. It's a powerful thing. It's a powerful weapon. Nothing can stop you. Born again Christian, you have the shed blood of Jesus over your life. You have inside of you the very thing that can defeat every demon, the devil himself, every single day of your life, if you know how to use it, if you will access it. It's just like Brother Scotty says, if you put a $20 bill in somebody's glove box for gas and they don't ever know it, they will never use it. We are not in that position. God's put a $150 million bill in our glove box and said, "Here, use this." I mean, it's a lot more than that, but I'm just putting a great big number on it for the power compared to 20. When you start changing your thinking, you have to think on certain things. Philippians 4:8, please. And it's not that hard. That's the reason it's called the simplicity of Christ. When you think on certain things, and if something comes into your mind that's not in these categories of these things, then cast them down. And it says, finally, brethren, this is Paul talking once again to born-again Christians. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. I think if you count it out, it'd be 8 or 9 things. I'm not counting on a number. But if you think on these things, and these things only, it will lead you into the mind of Christ. Period. Is it easy to do? Yes, if you set your mind to do it. Brother Scotty has brought, it seems like, it may have the same title a lot of times, Quality Decisions. It's not always the same words, but it's got the same meaning. You have to take control of what you think. If you do not, and you're whimmed to every thought that comes across to you, all you're doing is sitting there going, like this, spiritually. That's all it is. If you want to be a born-again Christian, be a born-again Christian. Don't be a weak born-again Christian. Because a weak born-again Christian is the one that does not use what God has given them. for whatever reason. Maybe they don't want to. Now, it is not God's will, and I'm as guilty as anybody, for us to go home and spend time, more time, in the things of the world, whatever it be. I'm not going to call things out because I don't want anybody to think I'm pointing a finger at them, but I'm pointing at me. It is not God's will for me to spend more time on social media and things about guitars and things about my Dodge Dakota pickup than it is to spend on His Word. How am I going to renew my mind if I don't spend more time, or at least the same amount of time, giving God my attention to think on His things as I think on worldly things that I like and be changed? It's not going to happen. That makes a weak Christian. A born-again Christian, I hope I don't make any enemies, but I'm just going to tell it like it is, that I'm guilty as anybody. A born-again Christian that thinks on these things and things of the world and comes to church on Sunday morning, and if so, they have service Sunday night and Wednesday night, or every night of the week, but they don't give God their home time in here and in here, or becomes a weak Christian. That's a formula to become a weak Christian. The best example I've ever heard is one I've heard here many times. You want to eat four times a week? I guarantee you're going to lose weight and you're going to get weak if you're not doing it under the fasting unto the Lord. You're going to get smaller and you're going to get weak. Same thing for your spiritual man. Now, why do we want to feed the spiritual man? I've only got about 5 minutes. I think I can do this in that time. Number one, we want to feed the spiritual man where we can be the vessel that God has planned for us to be. How's He going to build a kingdom without the building pieces? We are the building pieces. We have something inside of us that is it's not a puzzle, but it's a plan knit together, and each and every one of us fit in it. And not just this place. There's millions of people all over the world. I pray a lot of times, the Lord led me to pray. I pray for each and every one of y'all. Sometimes by name, sometimes not. And then I'll say, Lord, I pray for and hold up in prayer my brothers and sisters all over the world in Christ. Can you imagine a building that's being built that covers the whole world? Can you imagine that? That's what's going on. And Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He's the one overseeing it all. And it's going to be built. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. And when it is, Jesus is going to present it to God perfect and without blemish. I want to be in that building. Now, am I going to be perfect without blemish? Probably not until I go to be with the Lord. But I'm going to try as hard as I can. So, God does not intend for us to be a weak building piece. Also, I'm going to start with these verses. Ephesians 6:10, please. I already talked about renewing their mind. It says, Paul tells us, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. God not only gives us a renewed mind to use, He gives us His might, His strength spiritually. Now, how do we go about doing that? 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5, please. I did know this by memory. I do most of it now, but I lost a word or two, so I'm not going to butcher it. I'm going to read it. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what I was talking about a while ago. If you have thoughts that don't think on those things in Philippians 4:8, if they don't fit in there, cast them down. If they don't fit in those categories, they're bad thoughts, cast them down. I got to do it. Sometimes it's a day or two here, there, and yonder. Sometimes it's, a day or two I don't have to. But when I have a thought, and I know in my heart that's not pleasing to God, and sometimes I do, especially when I'm out driving, people pull out in front of me. I'm getting better at it. But I cast it down. I said, okay, Lord. And now, I'm going to tell you one of the things the devil's fought me about, this little system they got in my truck. I hate it. It's called Samsara. It's got a little camera up there. It don't matter. It's a system that kind of monitors my truck speed, and it's got a camera up there, and it sees everything going around. Well, now it's telling me whenever I'm going down the road and this big truck comes down beside me, there's nobody in front of me for a half mile, increase your following distance. When it gives a warning like that, it sends it to a bunch of people in my company. Tells them I'm following too close. Of course, they got the camera to look at. But I'm up there beating on that thing. I'm not the last person, this little thing on my windshield, I'm hitting it. I ain't following too close, you piece of junk. And then I thought, well, it ain't never done that before. I've had it for like 2 years, and it started doing it. So it kept doing it, kept doing it. I said, all right, you're just dumb. So I just, if ain't nobody said much to me about it, and when they do, I'm just going to tell them, look at it, ain't nobody in front of me. I ain't following too close. But that's one of the things that I have to learn to cast down. That's maybe a small thing. Impure thoughts, bad other people, about the opposite sex, about parents, about kids, about smart-aleck people and brats. I'm talking about me. Buddy, I just do not like smart-aleck people and they act like brats. But I have to cast that thought down and pray for them and say, Lord, help them. Because I've run across a few here lately. Now, in closing, because I only got a minute, John 1:42, please, Beth. I got to point to these four scriptures. I can get through them real quick, Brother Scotty, and I'll be done. This is Jesus talking. Send John. John's talking. He says, and he brought him to Jesus, talking about Peter. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, and it shall be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Do you see that right there? What did Jesus just do? He changed Peter's name. Am I right? Do y'all see that? Jesus did it. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Okay, I'm sorry. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I know we all know this, but I got a point to make. Now, so we see now that Jesus has changed Peter's name. You know why he changed it? Because Peter became a new creature. All right, we see in God's word here that we are a new creature through God's word. We're born again. Revelations 2:17, please. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This is Jesus talking. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Do you know each and every one of us has a new name? I'm not Monty. That's just what the world knows me as. I'm not Gerald Monroe Hall Jr. I am a new creature in Christ. And it says to him that overcometh, the part of that is whenever I use the power of my mind and I overcome, one day Jesus is going to come to me and he's going to give me that hidden manna and he's going to tell me what my new name is. Okay, Revelations 3:12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of the heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. I don't know about y'all, because I'm as guilty as anybody, but I'm going to work the rest of my life to use my mind to renew myself to where I receive these rewards. I've made my mind up. I'm going to be an overcomer, and I'm going to glorify God. That's all I got this morning. Anybody got anything they'd like to say? Okay, we're recessed till 11.